Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to Destiny Church Naples podcast. We pray that this message blesses you today. For more information on Destiny, you can visit us at our website at destinynaples.org, or we have an app on the iOS and Android store. Enjoy the message.
I've been studying, I've been praying, I've been seeking the Lord, I've been asking Him for a now word, and asking God to give me clarity of what needs to be delivered into your spirit. Gio, I love you, man. I've been praying for you, I love you, and Catherine. I'm just telling you right now, the Holy Spirit of God is doing amazing things in my heart. I'm humbled by the hand of God. Just 3 weeks ago when we paid this mortgage off, is like a, I don't know, you could probably relate to it, but it was just like there was just this, the Lord's hand, the stamp of approval of saying, I am with you, I am for you. You need to have that in your life. You need to know how much the Father loves you. And you need to stop looking at all the things you've done wrong. Stop, oh God, well, I've done all this, and the reason we're going through this is because of the decisions and the choices I made. I don't care what decisions and what choices you made. The hand of condemnation does not come from the Father. The Holy Spirit will convict you of a lifestyle, but He'll never condemn you. He always speaks hope. He always speaks life. He brings us into victory. And I just speak that over you. You need to get that confirmation over your heart and stop looking at, well, if I would have made this decision, if we would have did that, then all this would have been better. No, you're right where God wants you to be. You're right where God has commissioned you to be. And now open your eyes with wide-eyed and wonder to start believing God for supernatural things. Stop looking at the past and letting the past dictate your future. Look to the heavens where comes your help and start declaring and decreeing over your life. I'm about to step into something in 2018 that will change the world. Amen. Amen. I want you to go to Luke chapter 8. And I hope this will help you to understand what I'm going to do right here for the few minutes. Is how I would suggest that you read the Word. I can't tell everybody how to do it. Everybody's got their own methods and their own techniques. But this is more than just reading a story. Now, I love Luke chapter 8, and it's become one of my favorite books in the Bible. I love Psalm 91. He that dwelleth, seek the place of the Most High, shall abide in the shadow of the Mighty. I will say to the Lord, He's my refuge. I love Psalm 91. I love Psalm 34. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I love Psalm 34. I love Romans 8. I'm telling you, if you'll just study Romans 8 for about 6 months, it'll change your life. Romans chapter 8, there is now therefore no condemnation, those that are in Christ Jesus. And you begin reading that, the whole gospel is preached in Romans chapter 8. I mean, I just love it. I mean, you could get in there and just eat that over. You memorize that and just say, that's my chapter. It changed your life. But as I've been maturing in the Lord and growing in the Lord, even being at this faith conference this week, being around all those Word of Faith people, I mean, look, I just see all that. I'm like, I'm challenged. I'm like, oh, my, you know, I didn't come home from that conference and go, man, I got to change all this stuff. There wasn't anything where I went, I got to change all this stuff. When Rodney Howard Brown was here and he left, I didn't leave him leave and go, oh, man, we got to change all this stuff. Nothing. I mean, I received, I was imparted. I went there, I received, and I'm imparted. And you got to open your mind to think God has so much in store for you. You can increase your capacity if you'll let God stretch you and stop being so condemning and so judgmental about everything and just say, God, you're bigger than all this. Just open your mind to see and receive what God has in store for you. And I'm reading Luke chapter 8, and it's just becoming a part of my life, and it's challenged me. And I'm going to show you how I read it, and I hope that you can get a habit and a pattern of reading the Word like this. In Romans chapter 8, let's begin at verse number 1. Now it came to pass. Now it came to pass. Like, everything God's promised is going to come to pass. And you just begin to meditate. It came to pass. It shall be. It's going to come to pass. What God has planned for my life, the enemy can't stop. what God is going to do through me, the enemy cannot stop it. The only person that has anything to do with stopping the power and the fire of God in my life is me. And I refuse to hinder what God's doing in my life. It came to pass afterward that he went through every city, every village, preaching and bringing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. I read that, my spirit leaps within me, and I start thinking about Naples Park. I start thinking about Immokalee. I start thinking about Golden Gate and Golden Gate Estates and Estero and Bonita Springs. And I'm like, every community, every little community within a community, every city, every little area of this place called Naples, Florida, Collier County, Lee County. I'm telling you, God wants to bring his glory to this region. And I see that and read that and go, God, that's me. He said he took the 12 with him and they went preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. And my heart leaps within me. I'm not reading it and just going past it and saying, okay, that was something. Every word in that Bible is good for doctrine. It's good for reproof. It's good for your life. And you just can't read the Bible like it's a storybook. You read it and you stop and you meditate on it. What's he saying? Oh, he's saying he's bringing glad tidings of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is good news. Yes, we're going to talk about hell. Yes, we're going to talk about the lion devil and his demons from hell. Yes, we're going to talk about that. That is not the focus of the kingdom of God. The focus of the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The message of the kingdom of God is if you're sick, you don't have to be sick. If you're demonic and you've got a demon that's tormenting your life, you don't have to stay possessed. That's the good news. It's the good news. And he preached it in every city, in every village. And I read that, my heart leaps. And in verse number 5, he says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And I highlighted in my Bible, his seed. A sower went out to sow his seed. I love what God's doing in the Word of Faith movement. I love what God's doing at Hillsong. I love what God's doing at Bethel Church. I love what God's doing at Destiny Church. I love what God's doing around the earth right now. But let me tell you something. All that's good, but I need a word. I need a word from heaven. I need a now word. A sower went out to sow his seed. That speaks into my spirit and says, I got to have a seed to sow. I got to have something that God's doing in my life that's a testimony that I can declare. Here's what God has done for me and through me. And when I begin to release my seed, some will fall on the wayside. Some will fall on the stony places. Some will fall on hard ground. But others is going to hit good soil. That's Luke 8. This is what he's talking about. And in verse 11, he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So if he went out to sow his seed, he went out to sow the word of God that he received from the Lord. This whole chapter is about faith and growing your faith. In verse number 17, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to the light. Man, I read that and I start researching my life and saying, hey, what's in me that isn't faith? What's in me that isn't lining up with what God has said? How am I lining up with what the enemy is trying to get me to think or meditate on? How am I speaking words of doubt and unbelief? Nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden will not be known and come to the light. Verse 18, now therefore, take heed how you hear. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, be careful what you hear. He said, be careful how you hear. So I highlighted in my Bible, how do you hear? What do you hear? What ears are you hearing with? Are you hearing with ears of faith? Are you hearing with ears of doubt and unbelief? Be careful what you hear. Are you hearing with an ear of faith? Can you hear when something is spoken in your life that isn't faith? Because I get around some people and they just start talking and immediately in my spirit I go, that's not faith. That's not faith. That doesn't line up with what God said in his word. And as you mature in your faith and you grow in your faith, all of a sudden your faith level comes, and all of a sudden now you want to hear faith. If somebody says something, you could be anywhere and somebody will say, "Hey, I'm blessed." And you're like, you're talking my language. How you doing? Oh, man, God is good. Oh, you're speaking faith. We were at Bailey's wedding last night. We're sitting out here on the patio. We're all sitting out there on the patio, and there's a young girl here. I didn't know her. I'd never seen her before. She was a friend of Bailey's or David's from the years past or whatever. And so they gave us all sparklers. They were in here taking pictures, and they said, "They're coming out here really soon. They're coming out here really soon." We're like, okay, okay. And we've got the little sparklers, and we're ready for the sparklers to light. And all of a sudden, we lit the sparklers, and they didn't come. And they're like, "They're still taking pictures." And some girl turned around, and she goes, "What the hell?" And all of us that were of faith went. Oops. Listen, hell isn't a bad word. I talk about hell. I just mentioned hell 5 or 6 times. But in the context that she was using it, it wasn't of faith. It just came out of her. Not, she didn't mean anything by it. She doesn't feel that's cussing. And I'm just telling you, as you grow and mature in the Lord, there comes this place where you go, "Ooh, that doesn't rub me right. That shouldn't be used in that context. It's doubt and unbelief." you came around me and all I'm talking is doubt and unbelief. Like, what? I'm a Christian. I'm a man of God. What if you come to me and you say, "Hey, man, would you pray for me and my girlfriend that our relationship will get better?" And I go, "Yeah, I'll pray for you, but I doubt it's going to work." You're like a punk, man. You're not doing the right stuff. "Oh, God, Pastor, would you just pray that God would restore our marriage?" "Yeah, I'll pray with you, but I doubt it's going to work, man. You're so cranky. Why would any man want to be around you? You're just cranky all the time. Your spirit's like that. That don't sit right. That ain't right. That ain't right. Oh, Pastor, pray for me that I'd get this promotion at work. They got a new promotion. I put my name on there, and I'm hoping to get the new promotion." I go, "Yeah, I'll pray with you, but I doubt you're going to get it. You're so lazy. You're not going to do anything. Let's pray." in the natural realm, like in this world that we live in, you and I got to change what we say, how we say it. We got to realize as we mature in God, there comes this place where everything starts to change inside of you. You can operate at a certain level for a little while, and God says, "Hey, no. If you want to get to where I want to take you to in 2018, there's some things that are inside of you that's got to be left behind. Come on, show me your friends, I'll show you your future. How about we change that? Say, show me your faith, and I'll show you your future." How's your level of faith? Are you growing in the Lord? Are you maturing in the Lord? Are there things that you used to say that you're not comfortable saying anymore? This is what he says. How you hear? Be careful how you hear. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of the Lord. How much throughout a week do you say the word of the Lord? How many times during the week have you quoted scriptures out of your spirit, not out of condemnation, not to point out somebody's sin? How about just speaking life out of you where the love of God flows through you? If we're going to have an impact in 2018, if God's going to elevate our game to the level he wants it to be, there's got to be words of love and there's got to be words of faith that flow out of our mouths. Be careful how you hear. Therefore, take heed to how you hear, for what whosoever has, to him will be given. This is not talking about money. This whole chapter is talking about faith. Therefore, take heed how you hear, for whosoever has, to him it will be given, and whosoever does not have what? Does not have faith. Even what he seems to have will be taken away from him. Because you can act like a Christian, show up in here, you can go through the motions, but if it seems like you have faith, but it's not based upon the word of the Lord, and you don't have a now word inside your belly, and all you're living on is what somebody has told you or what you've heard some preacher preach, you're not going to have faith. And I'm telling you, in these last days, it's going to be taken from you. Because the Bible says everything can be shaken, will be shaken. Get it on faith. Get your life built on faith. In verse 21, he answered, this is how, I know it's crazy, right? But if you read the Bible like this, we've only read 21 verses. I mean, I didn't even go through all the verses. In verse 21, he answered and said to them, my mother, my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. My mother, my brothers, my family is a family of faith. That's what Jesus is saying. My family is a family of faith. You hear the word of God, you do the word of God. We live the word of God. We eat, breathe, sleep the word of God. And the presence of the Holy Spirit flows through us everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are, so we tell them, come on! We're a mighty army of God. It's faith. It's faith. Look at verse 22. Now it happened on a certain day. That just quickens. It happened on a certain day. It's going to happen. There's going to be a certain day when the Holy Spirit of God is going to anoint me with such power and such a might from heaven, such ability from heaven, that I walk into hospital rooms and lay hands on sick people and they're going to get up and go. You got to believe that in your mind. You got to believe that in the last days, God's going to pour his spirit out on all flesh, and sons and daughters are going to have signs and wonders, and everywhere they go, people are going to know that Jesus is with them. Amen. It happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, let's cross to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and the windstorm came on the lake, and they were filling with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him, they woke him, and they said, Master, we're perishing. He arose, and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? I believe the Holy Spirit's saying to Destiny Church right now, and everybody watching online, where is your faith? Is it in the Word of God? Do you have a solid foundation under you that no matter what your body feels like, no matter what it looks like, no matter what report you get from the doctor, that you're standing firm on the rock of his word and you got a word in your belly and you're careful what you're hearing and what you're saying and you're living in faith? Okay, now my message. I'm preaching on revival. And I want you to look with me in Luke 8:26. And all that was just like, just really out of my heart, just to stir your hearts to read the word with faith. The message that the Lord gave me is probably the most significant message that God's ever given me last year. I think it was the best message I preached all year long. And it was about the Jesus and his disciples getting into that boat, the storm coming, and trying to distract him from getting to the land of the Gadarenes. And when Jesus entered, I don't even know what it's under in the logs. If you went back and looked through the history of the messages that I preached, you'd probably be able to find it. But the message was about taking the territory. It was about you and I realizing that God has territory for us to possess. And we're only going to conquer it through faith. But that message was stirring in my heart, and it was just stirring me up. And I began to read it again in the last few weeks. And he said, they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when they stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. He wore no clothes, and nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice he said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had often seized him, and when he was kept under guard, he was bound with chains and shackles, and he broke off the bands and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Verse 30, and Jesus asked him, saying, what's your name? He said, Legion, because many demons have entered him. And he begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. In verse number 32, now a herd of swine was feeding there in the mountains, and they begged him that he would permit them to enter. And he permitted them. And when the demons went out of the man and entered into the swine, the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake, and they drowned. And when those who fled him saw what had happened, they fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus, and they found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at his right feet, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. They were afraid. Then they also, who was with them, Tobah, what means they had seen, who had been demon-possessed, was healed. And the whole multitude in the surrounding area region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them now, and they were seized with great fear. And he got into a boat and he returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away and saying, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went away and he proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Isn't it crazy they weren't afraid of a naked, hairy, demon-possessed man with chains on running around, but they was afraid of Jesus? Does that just shock anybody that they were afraid of Jesus, but a naked, hairy man living in the tombs they got used to? I'm telling you, you can get so used to dysfunction in your life that you don't even recognize it. You could get so used to chaos in your family and chaos in your home. You ever watch My Fat Greek Wedding? That movie? I mean, like, some people, like, Stephen just invited me, said, after we get through with the fast, Mom wants to cook you an Italian dinner. Like, you ever watch movies about Italian people at dinner? Everybody's slapping each other, everybody's screaming, everybody's yelling. And you blame it on your Italian culture. That's, you know, that's just our culture. You know, that's what we do, preacher. Hey, straighten up. Not at Stephen's house, amen. Amen. I'm just saying, people can get so used to dysfunction, they call it normal. And it's not. It's not normal to live in stress and drama in your home every day. It's not normal to come home from work and scream and yell at your family and just be so miserable when God has blessed you and God has provided for you. You ought to have a voice of thankfulness every time you walk into your home. Say, God, I thank you that I have a roof over my head. I thank you that I have a place to go to. There's food that I can eat. Not, why are you fixing that? I hate that. Why are you fixing that? I told you I don't like that. You grumpy, man. You just need to get delivered. Amen? You can get so used to dysfunction you don't even recognize. I wonder how many people sitting here right now have dysfunction in their life, and they've just made it a lifestyle. Love God with all their hearts, but just going around, always depressed, always sad, always sick, always miserable, always just hating on somebody. People can get so used to bad language they don't even hear it. That little girl didn't think she said anything wrong last night. And nobody said that she did. We just all looked at each other like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? It's like as you grow in your faith, if you're going to take territory and you're going to grow in your faith, there comes this place where you have to change your concept of how you live and how you do life. See, things that are acceptable when you get, see, there's no sin acceptable. I'm not going to say that. But I'm going to tell you this. You can get saved and still have a lot of habits and things in your life that don't line up. The Bible says every weight in sin. Huh? Lay aside every weight in sin. There's some things that are in your life that are just weights. It's not really sin. It's just like, you know what? As you mature in the Lord and grow in the Lord, he takes you to a place where others may, I may not. I could sit down with a bunch of pastors and they may say or do some things, and I look at it and go, you know what? They may, I may not. Huh? Why? I'm not trying to be above anybody or act like I'm better than anybody, but I got conviction in my heart from the Holy Spirit as I'm reading the Word and I'm growing in my faith. God says, okay, you used to be able to say that about them. You can't say that about them anymore. You got to start living in faith. You can't line yourself with the enemy and start speaking negative doubt and unbelief. You can't be going out saying, I'll pray for you, but I don't believe it. I mean, I don't. No, that's not, no. I'm not going to do that. When I pray for you, I'm going to believe with everything that is within me that Jesus said there's nothing impossible and all things are possible to him that believe. And so when I lay my hands upon you, I'm believing that your impossibility becomes possible by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And no devil in hell can keep you in bondage. Why? Because that's faith. It's faith, and it comes from the word. Proverbs 14:12 said, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end is the way of death. I mean, somebody's going to have to wake up in 2018 and start checking your life. What things are coming out of your mouth that don't line up with faith? around in your life? What people are still in your life today that need to go? I'm telling you, there's people that surround our lives that are full of doubt and unbelief, and we can love them, we can smile at them, but I'm telling you, there's got to come a time where you go, I'm going to line up with some faith people. I'm going to get around some faith. I'm going to get around somebody that's an encourager, and everybody in this room has the power to be an encourager. You don't have to line up with the world's way where you're always speaking doubt and unbelief. It's amazing they weren't afraid of a naked man in chains in the tombs, but they were afraid of Jesus. People get used to normal Christianity. I'm telling you, the body of Christ has gotten used to normal Christianity. We're just Christians. You know, in the world's way, there's only two. It's either Muslim or Christian. You're either Muslim or you're Christian. Which are you? I'm a Christian. But I'm not a normal Christian. Come on. I'm weird. You're weird. Just look around. There's some weirdos in this room. We're weird. People aren't afraid of normal Christians, but when they come in contact with a man that's dipped in the blood, when they come in contact with a woman who's had Holy Ghost fire touch their lips, when the altar has been taken from the coal of the altars and an angel brings it and touches your lips and it begins to transform you on the inside out and your spirit says, I'm not going to settle for average. I'm not going to settle for normal. I'm not going to settle for going through the motions. I refuse to let this world dominate my life. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I got a word in my belly. All things are possible to him that believes, and no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I got a word in my belly. I believe 1 John 2 where he said, beloved, above all else, I want you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Get a word from the Lord. Amen. I believe it. People are afraid of someone who's not afraid to say others may, I may not. People are afraid of that. Like, because you're living different. You're living different. God wants you to carry something that scares the world. Come on. God wants to anoint his church with something that brings fear to darkness, that intimidates the darkness. I'm tired of the church being intimidated by the darkness. I'm tired of us looking around the world and seeing all the darkness and putting our head down and, well, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to make anybody mad. You know what the world needs? They need a relevant church. They need a church that's relevant. You know how you get relevant and you get current? Get baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. That's relevancy. That makes a difference. That is welcomed by everybody. Come on. Listen, God released a naked, hairy man into the ministry. What's your problem? Verse 39, return to thine own house, show how great things the Lord has done for thee. And he went his way, and he published it throughout the whole city, the great things that God had done to him. When we were in Galilee, I was sitting there on the Sea of Galilee, and I'm looking out at all the boats that were on the water, and it was just amazing, because they have all these ships that take people out on the Sea of Galilee, and we weren't on a boat, we were on the shore looking out there, and you see these old boats sitting there on the water, and I'm looking at that, and I'm like, wow, man, it's just amazing. And I said to the guide, I said, where is the Gadarenes? He said, see that cliff right there that runs off down into the water? That's the cliff the swines ran into the sea right there. That's where it happened. And in that city, in that town of the Gadarenes, right now in Israel, they're digging down and they're finding more churches than any other place around the Sea of Galilee. And they're attributing this whole thing to the revival that was started. It's all dated back to the time of this young man getting delivered from them demons who Jesus said, you don't go with me. You take this to your city. You take this to your village. And a revival broke out and it changed everything. It's amazing. It's amazing. Listen, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away and all things become new. Everything's supposed to be becoming new in your life. Come on, you're going to have to lay some things down. You're going to have to disconnect from some things. We need revival. The key to revival is laying your life down. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Listen, revival isn't about you anyways. Revival is about the lost. Listen, God wants to get you into revival so you can win the lost. 2018 is a year of the harvest. Well, Pastor Greg, I know, I understand all that about winning the loss and all that, but I have a healing ministry. Okay. You have a healing ministry, but save the lost. Well, I've got this prophetic calling over my life. Well, prophesy and win the lost. I'm a lawyer. Well, you go be your attorney and win the lost. I'm a doctor. Okay, go use your doctor skill that God has given you, that you went to college for, and use your skill to be a doctor, but win the lost. Any ministry that you're called to that isn't about winning the lost isn't from God. I'm just saying, that's my opinion. I don't care what it is. If you're called into ministry, you're called to win the lost. You're called to get the heart of the Lord. His heart is souls. It has always been souls. It will be souls. Jesus is coming soon, and he's coming for a church, and you and I have the awesome opportunity and responsibility to go let his light shine. Win the lost. 2018 is a year of the harvest. It's a year of the harvest. Heal the sick, raise the dead, save the lost. Well, Pastor, you know, we're in Naples and I'm retired. Where do you find that in the Bible? Go in there and find retirement in the Bible and show me where you retire and you just quit. Ask Joshua what retirement looks like. Joshua, chapter 13, verse number 1. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, "You're old and advanced in years." But Joshua, there's a mountain. Go take that mountain. Come on, go take that mountain. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Ask John, the apostle John, who was the longest living apostle. Many theologians believe he was like 91 years old when he was banished to the Isle of Patmos. John becomes John the Revelator, who gets a revelation of Jesus Christ that is an end-time prophecy for the church, telling us about the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. There's only refirement. Come on. God wants to refire you and anoint you with this presence to take the gospel to the world. We all need to be re-dipped in the blood of Jesus. We all need revival. We need a fresh touch from heaven. God told Moses, "Take your sandals off, Moses. The ground you're standing on is holy ground." I wonder if God could speak to us in 2018. What would he tell us to take off? Come on. What would he say is separating you from the holy ground? Come on. This requires something of us. This requires something. Paul reminds us in 2 Timothy 1:16, says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." A sound mind. Fanning the flame requires something of you and I. That's what fasting and praying is all about. It's about the presence of the Holy Spirit invading our lives. I don't need a visitation. I need a habitation. Come on, I get visitations all the time, but I need a habitation. I need to open myself up to the presence of the Lord and say, "You come inhabit this tabernacle. You come and change everything." That's what fasting and praying is all about. Listen, some Christians are way too comfortable. Some Christians are way too comfortable. You will not have revival until you're uncomfortable. I'm just telling you, the Holy Spirit will make you uncomfortable. Have you figured out Jesus often calls us into situations in which we're not comfortable? You look at the fish and the loaves. Jesus asked them, said, hey, how are we going to feed these people? You feed them. They're sitting there going, "Look at all these people. Me? How am I going to feed? I don't have nothing. You got the money?" He says, "You feed the people." And if you read down, it says he already knew what he would do. All he was looking for is, "Okay, I'll do something." So some of you don't realize it, but I'm just telling you, God's looking for you to say, "I'll do something. I'll fast. I'll pray. I'll call on your name. I'll humble myself under the mighty hand of God. You exalt me in due time." The little boy didn't know how. They come to the little boy and say, "Hey, dude, there's 5,000 people out there. What do you got?" The little guy's like, "I don't know. I got a couple fish, a couple loaves. That's what I got. I'm not ready for this." God says, I'm just asking you for a yes. Little boy said, yes, here's my lunch. That's all God needs out of you and me. Yes, I'll lay my life down. I know you don't think you're ready. And you're probably not ready. I don't think I'm ready. What would I do if 1,000 people showed up here next Sunday that just heard about Missy's healing? You know, Missy got baptized about 3 months ago in October. Missy got baptized. She came and she gave her life to Jesus, surrendered her heart and life to Jesus Christ. Missy stood before us and she said, this is my first time giving my life to Christ. We prayed with her. She said, I want to be baptized. Dan Moeller said, let's take them down. Let's baptize them. We went down and baptized her in the water. And as she walked out into the water to us, Gene, she got right up to us. We're getting ready to turn around to face the people. And as soon as she walked up to us and we turned around, she said, listen, I've got HIV/AIDS. What's going to happen now? Am I going to die? Did I give my life to Christ so I can die? And Dan and I both turned around and put our finger at her and said, in the name of Jesus, we're going to believe, God, that when we put you in this water, that there's a cleansing and a washing of your blood. And when you come up out of this thing, you're going to be healed, girl. And Dan held her down a long time, too. I was like, we got to get her up. I mean, we put her down in there, and I'm like, okay, man. I pull him right back up. Dan's like, okay, we got to hold till the bubbles stop or something, you know? I don't know. But he pulled her up out of the water. And listen, two Fridays ago, Dan was preaching for St. Matthew's House for Van and Ellison and Lisa up in LaBelle. And when Dan came in and we're standing there, Lisa comes running in and she's screaming and she's shouting and she's showing us her papers. Right here, Pastor, is the blood work. This is what they said. There's my name here. Look at my blood report, HIV/AIDS. Look at this one, Pastor. I just went in. They just did a test on me. There's my name. There's my blood work. No HIV/AIDS. How does God do that? Our God is greater. Ta! If that story got published by Fox News or CNN or whatever, and they started advertising that miracle happened in this church, I'm telling you, next week there'd be 1,000 people lined up out there ready to come in the doors. Am I ready for that? No. But the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ is. All I got to do is say yes. Yes, God, I don't know how it'll all happen, but yes, I know I'm screaming, but I'm trying to get this into your heart. This is revival time. This is Holy Ghost revival time. Stir your hearts to believe. The disciples get in the boat and they're going across the sea. Jesus goes to pray and he comes walking to them on the water. And the disciples, the men of God, the chosen ones, the 12 chosen ones, are in a boat seeing Jesus on the water. And they go, huh, is that a ghost? They don't even know. Is that a ghost? Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Boy, that's faith, isn't it? If that's you, and if bid me to come. It just shows you that it isn't based on us, it's based on him. It's based on a desire in our heart and a hunger. And people, I've heard it preached all my life. People will always preach it, and I'll probably preach it someday myself. They always preach that when Peter took his eyes off the Lord, brother, he began to sink. He did. But let me just tell you, let me just help everybody. Peter's goal was not to walk on the water. He didn't get out of the boat and go, okay, hey, guys, you guys are cowards. Watch me walk on the water to Jesus. He didn't get out of the boat to walk on the water. He got out of the boat to go to Jesus. Guess where he made it to? You can look at all the circumstances around it all you want to, but his goal wasn't to walk on the water. His goal was to get to Jesus. And when you step out and get a yes in your spirit, you're going to make it to where he wants you to be. You're going to get it done. This is what we're called to. This is how we're going to see a move of God. You have to say yes. You have to lay your life down. You got to wake up in the mornings and stop being in such a hurry to get to your job. Just lay on your face before God and say, Lord, fill my life. We were at the conference this week and Jerry Seville stood up. He said, God showed me this when in praying about this year, that every born again Christian needs to wake up every morning and say, God, show me your glory. How about if you just prayed that prayer, said, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, show me your glory. How do you think you would respond when somebody does you wrong if you're crying out, Lord, show me your glory? How do you think you would respond when somebody cheats on you or lies to you or mistreats you? I think your attitude would be a little different and out of you would come love and not hate. Out of you would come joy and not the cares of this life. Lord, show me your glory. Get yourself in revival. We can't have a revival without his presence. Listen, people start revivals, not meetings. It's important for us all to know. People start revivals. You can have your own personal revival. You can start living every waking day thinking about God's presence and God's power and how to release his power on the earth. Revival makes you bold. Makes you bold. I'll tell you how you can have a revival. Get in a room, draw a circle around your life, and ask God to fill the circle. Just draw an imaginary circle around your life. Say, God, fill this circle. Ask God for holy fire. I'm amazed at how many in the body of Christ will not ask God for holy fire because they're afraid of being weird. They're afraid of being radical. God's looking for a radical people. He's always had a remnant that would believe him for anything. He's always had a remnant that would stand against the forces of hell and declare God's goodness. Be the one. Peter gets to the end, and Jesus has been resurrected, and they're there at the upper room. Peter preaches a message, and thousands are added into the kingdom of God. Not because Peter was great, because Peter said yes. I want the holy fire of God to fall. I mean, how many of you want the holy fire of God to fall in your living room, in your car? Man, I would to God that we'd just see people pulled over on the side of the road and out beside their car on their knees, just crying out to the living God. I would that it would get so heavy in your house that your children would be like, what's going on? Why is Daddy crying? What's going on, Mommy? Why is Daddy in the bedroom crying? Why is he crying? Because the glory of God's there with Daddy right now. And when he comes out, his face is going to shine with the love of Christ. You know, years ago, I was a youth pastor at a church in Lorain, Ohio, and we had an inner-city ministry there where we bust in kids from outside, and there would be a lot of kids from the projects, a lot of real rough kids that didn't have a relationship with the Lord, and they all, you know, were just great kids, but they didn't have the opportunities that I had had or that some of us had, and there was a youth event called Tidal Wave at Beulah Beach in Vermilion, and there was this big youth event, and all these kids, I wanted them to go and experience the teaching and just be around that. So I invited a whole busload of them. We had a couple busloads of kids, and like a half a busload of kids showed up, teenagers, and I took them to this thing called Tidal Wave. And so they had all kinds of events and activities for the kids, and then they had church every night where the glory of God would just show up in there, and I'm just praying these kids would get touched by the Lord. And so they had a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. So all of our kids are in this basketball tournament, and you got some project kids. You got some pretty good ball players, man. These guys are really good. And so they're all in there, and, you know, their language isn't the best, and they're kind of throwing everybody back a little bit. But one of the kids saw a guy getting ready to go play basketball, and he took his wallet out of his pocket, and he put it down in his gym bag. And one of those kids, one of those inner city kids, went over there and sat down beside of that thing and reached in there and took the wallet and put it in his pocket. And so somebody saw him do it and came and said, hey, one of those kids right there took that guy's wallet. And so they came to me and said, hey, one of your kids stole the guy's wallet. The guy saw him do it. So could you just, you know, get him to get the wallet back? So I put all the kids on the bus. I said, everybody get on the bus. Let's all get on the bus. Because I'd ask everybody, anybody know who stole the wallet? Nobody was saying anything. I'm like, somebody knows who took it. I mean, you didn't just take it and not tell anybody. Somebody knows. You know who you are. Just give me the wallet. And they're like, no one would answer. I'm like, you guys, come on. They saw you. You want me to go get them, bring them on here, have them point you out? Just give me the wallet. I'll take it out. It's not a big deal. We can handle it. Just give me the wallet. Nobody would respond. So I got mad. I said, all right. How many of you guys believe I'm a man of God? How many of you guys believe I'm a man of God? They all raised their hands. I said, there's a story in the Bible where Elijah went out to the prophets of Baal, and he set up altars, and he called down fire, and fire from heaven came down and consumed that whole thing, burned up all the rocks and everything. And I said, I'm going to tell you something right now. I am a man of God, and I'm about to walk off this bus. I'm going to get on my knees out there, and I'm going to pray the fire of God is going to come down in this bus. Somebody's getting ready to be toast right now. I said, I'm done with this. And I turned around to walk off that bus. This little kid jumped out. Now, it was me. It was me. Don't do it. Don't do it. I got the wallet back. Hey, can you believe God for holy fire to come to your family, for your children, for yourself? Come on, just stand up on your feet right now and just say, God, this last week of the fast, if you're not fasting, why don't you take these next 7 days and push the plate back for your family, for you? Say, God, I'm going to humble myself. I am the one, God, I am the soul winner. I have the power of death and life in my tongue. I have the ability to speak life over this, and it is going to turn around in the name of Jesus. Father, anoint the people, Lord. I bring revival to our hearts and to our families. I thank you for your word, God, that this word is true. God, let everybody get a word in their heart this week. Let everybody get a now word for their family, for their life. Let the scriptures come alive in our hearts. God, we thank you for your love. If everybody would right now, could you just close your eyes and bow your head to the Lord? Could you, in reverence to God, put everything else out of your head right now and realize that God brought you to this church today, on this specific day, that he might touch your life. That God brought you here right now so that he can touch your life. Everybody praying with me, please, just pray. God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The 21st day of January, 2018, Pastor Greg preached a message to me about revival. And my heart is stirred because I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. 2018, January 21, is the day the angels are going to rejoice in heaven over you making a final decision over your life. I'm calling it a final decision because the devil can't stop the fire of God that's going to burn in your heart. It's a day of change. Old things have got to pass away and all things become new. If you're not a Christian, if your heart's not where it needs to be with the Lord, or you're backslidden, you love God, man, but your life has not reflected God's goodness. You've been living a life that doesn't represent the kingdom at all. You've been living in dysfunction. You're depressed. You're angry. You're lonely. Headed down to a path of destruction. And God says, I'm putting a roadblock in front of you, son. Ma'am, I'm stopping right now and to tell you God loves you and he has a plan for your life. And he's going to change it all if you'll let him. Dysfunction has to go. Holy Spirit of God, everybody praying right now. God, I pray that you touch hearts and lives right now, that people would make a conscious decision to follow you. They will not leave the way they came in, Lord. They're going to leave knowing they're loved, and they're cared for by a heavenly Father that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Now, God's speaking to you, and you know who you are. I can't make the choice for you. If I could, I'd come right back there to you. I wouldn't be afraid of embarrassing you. If I knew who you was, I could just come to you right now and say, look, don't go to hell, man. Don't go to hell. Stop living life after your flesh. Come on, get your spirit back in control. You're a spirit. You live in a body. You possess a soul. Get your spirit back in front. Your flesh has been leading all your choices. And God said, I want your spirit to be strong. So right now, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, just hold your hand up with me right now. Just hold your hand up. Just hold it up. Yeah. Come on. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now about this whole decision of Christ, of walking in faith. Just lift your hand right now. Just hold it up. Thanks, guys. All over the back, all over the side, all over this room. It's faith. It's faith. It's faith. Come on. If you lifted your hand, why don't you come and kneel at the altar with me? Come on, come join me at the altar. If you lifted your hand, you say, you know what? I want faith to rise in my heart more. I'm believing for increase in 2018. I believe in God to elevate me to a place where I have influence on the lost. Come on, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, come kneel at the altar right now. Say, hey, I want to give you my life, God. I want to start thinking differently, living differently. I want to be converted into Christianity. I want to be a real Christian. I don't want to be a normal Christian. Come on, if that's you and you lifted your hands, come right now. Everybody else, just turn and be an evangelist right now. Say, hey, you want to go? I'll go with you. I'll go with you. Let's go as a family. Let's just go together as friends, and let's just go and kneel before the Lord. Come on, let's worship the Lord as they're coming.